Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. We're excited to head down to Atlanta after the show. We'll be doing our show outside the, I think it's the third base gate of Truist Park tomorrow as the Braves will wrap up their series against the Washington Nationals, and then they hit the road for three against Boston and then three against these same Washington Nationals. We say hello to Hall of Fame pitcher and Braves broadcaster Tom Glavine, who's on the line with us. Tom, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks so much for doing this. The Bravos sitting now at 500. It was a slow start, a rough start, but they've been playing pretty well as of late. What do you think about these Braves?
Yeah, they have been. I mean, listen, it's never easy when you get off to the start they get off to, but you know, you got to give some credit to the teams they play. They opened up with two of the best teams in the National League and maybe in baseball. So, you know, it was a tough go to start the year, but you know, slowly, surely, they're kind of getting there. I think part of it was, again, who they played. Part of it's the feeling out process, right? They got some new bodies. Trying to figure out where guys fit in the lineup, trying to figure out where guys fit in the bullpen. And I think they've, you know, kind of settled on everybody's role, so to speak. And everybody seems to be more comfortable, and they're playing better baseball.
What has kind of been your impressions with this rotation? Obviously, Max Fried moves on. That was tough to see. You had some veterans that were there last year, but led by Chris Sale, what's kind of been your thought on this rotation?
Yeah, the rotation's been good. You know, I think they've given them a chance night in and night out. You know, and you know, you couple the slow start too with not having Spencer Strider, not having Lopez. You know, that obviously puts a damper on things as well. But the guys that who have stepped into the rotation have done a good job. I mean, Chris Sale, coming off a great year last year, obviously has pitched well this year. He's just been kind of the tough luck guy so far early. They haven't scored him a lot of runs. You know, so it's been a little tough going for him. Schwellenbach's been throwing the ball well, hit a little bit of a hiccup there, but, you know, he seems to have things back on track. And then A.J. Smith-Shawver's been, you know, kind of that typical young kid. He's struggled at times, but he's been lights out at times. His last two have been really good. Bryce Elder's throwing the ball well, and Grant Holmes is throwing the ball well. So, you know, starting rotation, you know, night in and night out has given them a chance to win, and it's taken a lot of pressure off of their bullpen, which I think always helps. Anytime you can limit the number of outs your bullpen has to get on a nightly basis, you're usually in a good position.
Tom Glavine is with us, and the Braves have a good problem, I guess, that might be presenting itself with Ronald Acuna beginning his rehab assignment, and hopefully we'll be back with the club in early June. But the way that Alex Verdugo and Eli White have played in the outfield, Brian Snitker is going to have some decisions to make when it comes to finding a spot for Acuna. You know he's going to do that, but like I said, it's a good problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Listen, they're going to have two of them, right? When Spencer Strider comes back, they're going to have to figure out who comes out of that rotation. And when Ronald comes back, they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with, you know, Verdugo and White. I know in White's case, he's got a little bit of infield experience, so they're trying to, you know, get him some reps at some of the positions on the infield, which, listen, is never a bad thing as a player nowadays. You know, the more hats you can wear, so to speak, and the positions you can play, the better off. So I think he certainly played his way into them trying to find some playing time for him once Ronald comes back. And the same thing with Verdugo. So, yeah, to your point, they're great problems to have. You know, listen, I think that offense will obviously get a much-needed jolt when Ronald comes back.
We're talking to Tom Glavine. Tom, my name is Joe, and I'm going to fangirl here for just a little bit. When Chase told me you were coming on, I was over the moon excited because – the 1987 Atlanta Braves baseball team is one of my favorite baseball teams of all time just because I love the Braves so much. You're a part of that. I had a Paul Ossenmacher jersey back in the day. I hurt my shoulder but trying to throw like Gene Garber as the reliever, the sidearm, right? So to have you on here, I mean, you come up, you're playing with these guys. What was your first start in Major League Baseball?
So my first start was in Houston. I got called up in August. Went into Houston, made a start there, and you know they were right in the thick of the playoff run at that time. So it was a pretty crazy environment. You know, the Astrodome, the eighth wonder of the world, they called it, was something that I had never seen before. So it was a crazy experience from just being in that stadium and also the crazy loud atmosphere with them being in a playoff hunt. So it didn't go great. First one didn't go great. It wasn't awful, but it wasn't great. But I was able to win my second one and move on from there.
How did you – had you ever pitched a dome before?
No, I'd never seen anything like it. I mean, the only sport I ever played with a roof on it was hockey. So, you know, it was all new to me. And like I said, it was a crazy loud environment because they were in the thick of the playoff run, like I said. So it was a little bit of an overwhelming experience, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I think it was the Astrodome back then, when it was loud, it was loud. So 91, and again, I'm going back with this, but when you guys made that run in the summer of 91 and everybody hopped on board, Tom, what was that like? Because, again, you guys were the lovable losers, and now you're on top of the world. And it, I tell you, as a fan, it was a beautiful ride to see all that happening.
No, listen, it was so much fun to be a part of that. I mean, you know, when people talk about years and which years were the most fun, whatever. I mean, obviously winning a World Series in 95, you can't top that. But, you know, if you were going to write a storybook or write a script and have a storybook ending, it would have been 91. And, you know, that happened. Unfortunately, it happened for the Twins, not for us. So, you know, both teams went worst to first and got to the World Series, unfortunately. You know, we weren't able to win it, but to watch the groundswell of support in Atlanta was really cool and really fun to be a part of. I mean, like you said, we were terrible those years leading up to that. And, you know, we got off to a decent little start. And I think around Memorial Day, we were in first place. So people were kind of starting to get on board. And, you know, then we had a little bit of a hiccup before the All-Star break and ended up, I think, 6 games back at the break. So, you know, I'm not sure how seriously people took us coming out of the break, you know, maybe kind of all same old Braves, but you know, if I'm not mistaken, I think we reeled off 6 or 7 in a row coming out of the break and the Dodgers lost 6 or 7 in a row. So, you know, within a week we were a game back. And I think that's when it really took off. That's when really people started to, you know, really get behind the team and the tomahawk chop and the whole 9 yards. And, you know, you'd be driving down the highway on the way to the ballpark and somebody would notice you and then start doing the tomahawk chop on the highway going 80 miles an hour. So it got pretty crazy.
Who's one player in baseball, Tom, and we're talking to Tom Glavine on the Chasing Big Joe show, who is not the, you know, the greatest player of all time, but who absolutely destroyed you at the plate. A guy that probably none of us can't mention, but a guy that you was like, God, I hate facing this guy because he only hits it off of me.
That's an easy one. I was Mike Redmond, catcher for the Marlins, backup catcher for the Marlins. If I was pitching in Florida, I think he was sending a limo to the hotel to make sure I got to the game because he was going to get 4 hits. So, you know, it just didn't matter. And I felt better about it after because I found out he did the same thing to Randy Johnson and Mike Hampton. So those two lefties were pretty good too. So I wasn't alone. But yeah, it's, you know, listen, everybody always asks, oh, who's your toughest hitter? Who's this? And it's usually never somebody that you think of or somebody you heard of, right? I mean, it's obviously when people ask me that question, you know, one of the first guys that's going to come up is Tony Gwynn, right? I mean, he's just an all-time great hitter and a guy that, you know, was always a tough out. You didn't want to see up there in a crucial situation. But, you know, in terms of guys that own you, it's always an obscure name. And for me, it was Mike Redmond. I think I kept him in the big leagues for probably 2 or 3 years.
We're talking to Tom Glavine, the Hall of Fame pitcher and Braves broadcaster, kind of going down memory lane. So you know how it is with technology that your phone kind of figures out what you like and it'll pop up things. So I've been down these rabbit holes of watching, you know, you and Smoltz and Greg Maddux, and they'll pop up on Instagram. And this one came up a few weeks ago of Eddie Perez telling the story of Maddux basically giving up a home run to Jeff Bagwell on purpose because he knew he could get him in the playoffs. Do you remember that?
You know, there's a couple of those stories with Greg. I don't know how many of them are true or not. I think some of them probably are. Some of them might be a little bit of folklore. But listen, I think that speaks to how we used to pitch, what we used to do, and I think what's different in today's game, which for me, I think drives me crazy more than anything else, right? I mean, we would always go into a game and you look at a lineup and you come up with a scouting report and you're gonna pick one or two guys in that lineup that you don't want to let beat you. And you know, but you also know, okay, if this guy comes up with runners in scoring position late in the game, here's how I I know or I think I can get him out. Here's how I'm going to attack him. Now, we're not going to attack him like that in the first inning, right? So I think that speaks to what we tried to do and probably what Greg was doing, right, where he knew how he wanted to get him out if the game was on the line, but he's not going to get Jeff Bagwell out that way early in the game. And if he goes against that and he gives up a solo home run or he gives up a base hit, so what? Okay, I'm not going to lose the game most of the time in the first inning. But if I have him again, I'm not going to pitch him that way. So I think that was kind of the cat and mouse game that we played back then, which I don't think gets played as much anymore. You know, I can typically watch a game and know after the first time a pitcher faces a hitter how they're going to try and get him out the whole game. And I think that's a part of the game that I think we were all pretty good at was identifying that guy that we didn't want to let beat us, knowing how we thought we could get him out and holding that in our back pocket until we thought we needed it.
So when you got into broadcasting, did it bother you when you kind of noticed that some of that was going away? And did you have to kind of work on that as a broadcaster not to express frustration too much?
No, I mean, I think, you know, it's one of those things where it's when I first started broadcasting, the game was similar to when I played. You know, as years have gone on, you know, it's gotten further and further away from that. I mean, now everything's velocity and everything's about swings and misses and how many swings and misses can I get and how many strikeouts, and I throw every pitch with a swing and miss mentality. Like, we didn't pitch that way. You know, we learned how to pitch to weak contact. If we had to get a strikeout, then obviously we would try to. If we got to two strikes in a count, we would try and strike somebody out, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if I can get a first pitch ground ball and get 27 of those, I'd be just fine with that, you know. But today's game is just a little bit different. But I think there are, you know, the one thing I've always tried to remind myself, regardless of what I'm broadcasting, is that the game isn't that easy. You know, when you're sitting up there in the booth, there's a lot of things that look easy and a lot of things that look obvious. And you have to remind yourself sometimes that it's not that way on the field. Like for me, I can't tell you how many times I would be pitching in a game and I would throw a guy a changeup and I'd get a bad swing, and I'd throw another changeup and I'd get a bad swing, and I'd stand on the mound thinking, oh my God, I can't throw this again. Like, I can't throw three in a row. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in the broadcast booth and I've watched a guy throw a breaking ball and get a swing and throw another breaking ball, and I'm saying, please throw that pitch again. You know, but when you're on the mound, you're thinking, I can't possibly throw that pitch again. I can't do that again. You know, he's going to make an adjustment. But I think those are the things that when you're upstairs watching it from afar become a little bit more obvious that are not so obvious when you're on the field. And you know, so it's stuff like that that I try to remind myself of. But you know, there are times where, yeah, the way guys go about pitching is just generally much different than how we did it. But listen, every generation has changes, and every generation thinks the next generation is different and not maybe as good a product or whatever, but that's just the nature of the game.
I love it. Tom Glavine. Tom, last one for me. You obviously were a great hockey player. You played baseball. Now these days, you got coaches telling some kids, look, just stay in one sport, work that sport all year long. I don't like that. You obviously excelled in two sports. What's your approach to telling a young kid now? I mean, I say play all the sports. What do you say, Tom?
No, it's funny. You know, I always ask that question, and you know, like you were saying, how time to time your phone will pop things up that you know you're looking at, or the algorithms, whatever they are. And you know, there was one recently that came around of me and a quote that I had, which was exactly that, where I said, if you've got a coach that's telling your kid he needs to play year round, you need to run from that coach. I don't like it. I hate it. You ask any professional athlete in any sport, if they want their kid playing one sport year round, they'll tell you hell no. They want them playing, you know, as many sports as they can and experience everything they can and find out what they like. Now, I understand at some point in time, you know, you have to, or you might have to. I mean, I say that knowing that even for me, I played hockey and baseball all my life, and I didn't have to decide until the day I signed with the Braves. So it can be done. You can play multiple sports. I just think that we're in a day and age now where I think a lot of it is generated by coaches or by these travel programs that feed on the emotions of the parents to make them think, well, if your kid's not playing year-round, the kid down the street is, and he's going to be better than your kid. And you know, what parent's not going to look at that emotionally and go, oh, well, I have to do everything I possibly can for my kid to, you know, to make it. Because right. Everybody, let's face it, everybody thinks their kid's going pro, right? Of course they're not. But that's what everybody thinks. And so I think a lot of it is just the emotions that the parents have, and they just don't know any better. They just think, well, this is what I have to do or what I'm supposed to do. And who doesn't want to give their kid the best chance to be successful? I just think that it's unfortunate. I think we're raising a generation of athletes that are sports specific, that aren't well-rounded athletes. Like, you know, listen, when I played ball, everybody in my starting rotation with the Braves, me, Smoltz, Maddox, Avery, when we played high school ball, we all played another position and probably hit third or fourth in our lineups. That doesn't happen anymore. So many of these guys in the big leagues now are pitchers only, and they only pitched and they never played another position. That's the kind of stuff that drives me crazy.
Love it. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Tom, thanks so much for doing this. When do we see you in the booth again?
I will be in the booth Friday night in Boston.
Oh, cool. All right. Very, very cool. Well, we're headed down to Atlanta after the show to watch a couple games against the Nationals. So hopefully a couple games above 500 when you get them in Boston.
Yeah, let's go. It's on you guys. Let's get them going.
we're going to get it going. Thanks so much, Tom. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Safe travels to Atlanta.
All right. See you soon. Tom Glavine, Hall of Fame pitcher, joining us here on the program.
Talked to him for hours.
And ironically, it was 5 years ago today during COVID when we had nothing going on. My phone reminded me of this, that I did an hour with him on Facebook Live just sitting talking ball.
Was that enough?
Oh, it was. I could have gone for 2 hours. Wow. He was could not have been nicer and was so cool and telling stories about Doggy, as they refer to him, and Greg Maddux and Smoltz and just all those guys. But it was so cool. And as a kid that grew up a Braves fan, I mean, that was,
oh yes,
you're talking about fangirling. Like,
oh yeah, I admitted it. I'm not going to hide from that fact.
Yeah, for sure. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.